Sam Flo with the Flo Podcast. This is episode 2 with the two of us.
Yeah,
I'm excited, man. I've been thinking all week. I'm excited to get it going, man.
It's gonna be a good one, guys. Yeah, thank y'all for tuning in. I hope y'all enjoyed our first. Let's just call it a collab, or I don't even know what word to use, but I thought it went really good. I got some good responses. I'm not sure if you did. Did anyone tell you, the significant other, did they say, good job, you got it?
Yeah.
Don't ever do it again.
I got some good positive feedback. Good, I got some good feedback. Some people even on social media that watched it really enjoyed it, kind of related and resonated to some of the stuff that we said. Yeah. So, and I think it's only going to get better.
Well, y'all stay tuned. It's going to be a good one today. There. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Failed Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in. We got a great episode today. We're going to have fun. We're just going to talk. We're going to introduce y'all to more of what we're doing here with me and Daniel. We're going to call him Flo. So when you hear me say, man, what's this? Flo time, Flo this, Flo that, you know, it's his time to go. But what'd you think of the first episode?
I thought it was really good. Everybody that I know that watched it gave me positive feedback. Yeah. So it went really well. I don't want to say I was nervous. It's conversation, and I think this is in the stuff we talk about and the things that we discuss here on the show. It's impactful, and everybody can relate to it in some way. We've all dealt with some of these type of things, and so I think when the conversation gets flowing, it's just conversation, man. Conversation is everything.
Is everything. Tell me what you learned. Like, what did you expect on the first one? What did you, once you watched it for the first time, I don't know if you just watched it or if you heard the audio. Were there some things in there that you said, man, I'm going to adjust, or I'm kind of proud of myself for doing that? Did you notice the intricacies of us, like, just flowing?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm like, it's always weird. I don't know if you have this issue. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Especially maybe you've been doing it a while, so you don't have this issue. But it's weird for me to watch myself back. And that's always been a issue for me. Even with my music, like, I'll listen to it. But, like, if I hear other people listening to it, it kind of, like, I don't know. It throws me off. Do you ever have that issue?
A lot of people say that. I think a lot of people have a hard time watching themselves. For me, it's not so difficult. I sound horrible saying that. But for me, it's like, because it's always someone else in the conversation. Right. And so I'm breaking the conversation down. I'm trying to see, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? How can I improve? I'm not necessarily watching, like, to entertain myself. I think if that was the case, I'll be like, it's a little weird. Right. So I'm trying to elevate myself. And so it makes every conversation worth watching, you know. But I don't have when Frozen came out with my daughter, we watched it so many. I don't have that any of my stuff. There's stuff that I haven't watched in a long time.
Right.
And so I'll reference it if I need to. But sometimes the older stuff, it's hard to watch because they were so bad. Right. You know what
I mean? I get that with music. But I don't even with music for me, I don't know. It's like, it's something, it's a hurdle that I'm trying to get over, of like being comfortable with like, being in this role. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, being comfortable with being like, yeah, you are an artist. Yeah, you do have something to say. And, like, I don't know. For some reason, I guess, is that, like, imposter syndrome? I don't know what it is, but, like, I deal with that. Like, I'm trying to get over that hurdle of, like, leaning more into, like, yes, this is who I am. And so I say all that to say, I was watching it, and, like, some of it was, like, I noticed some of myself of, like, not fully being free. That's where I asked that question, because when I watched it back and I was watching some of the things, it was like, I noticed some parts where it was like, all right, man, you can let go, you know?
Yeah, you're like, I don't sit like that. I don't talk like that all the time.
Right.
So imposter syndrome for me, it's interesting because everyone, I'm not saying you, this is just some interesting facts. People use it as almost an excuse for people to say, no, it's you. Like, you're good. It's always positive.
Right.
But imposter syndrome works both ways. Sometimes it is the truth.
Right.
Sometimes you're acting or doing, or you're somewhere you shouldn't be. And it's kind of like you telling yourself either calm down or either elevate yourself so that you can own that position.
Right.
But everyone always says it in the sense of, it's imposter syndrome, but I belong here. I need to get rid of the imposter syndrome.
Right.
When really, maybe you don't. And I know that sounds ugly.
No, that's
but sometimes it's just an indicator.
Right.
And so when it goes away, I think that's when you officially like have overcome it, that you have grown into your position.
Right.
But I don't know if that's too deep for this early in the morning.
I think that's great though. You know, it's almost like you're in that in between and you gotta, you know, figure out if this is for me or and own it or
yeah.
Or not. Yeah. So yeah.
So Flo, everyone has got to see you and hear you a little bit, and then I've been plugging your stuff on my social as far as like your flows and stuff, your daily flows, and that's almost as hard as this if you think about it. I mean, even though they're short, but you're kind of putting it out there. Like here on the interview, I'm able to deflect on the person. It's not never right. Like it's not zoomed in on me. I'm not looking to put my stuff out there all the time, but when you flow, it's like that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that whole thing is it. Like you said, they're short, but even in a sense, they're not because, for instance, like yesterday. Let's just talk about yesterday's one. I didn't really have a gap in my schedule to make time for that.
Yeah.
I did that. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I wrote that at work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like. In between,
we need to come up with the code word for work.
Yeah, right.
I did that on my lunch break.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, but no, like I mean, like it was just things were like it was like a couple lines at a time, right? Yeah. So it would be like I'd be at work walking around, and then something would come to my mind, and I'd jot it down real quick.
Yeah,
and then I just put them all together. But so that was really like almost an all day thing. The hardest part about that is actually, like you said, is getting down, sitting down, turning the camera on,
yeah,
recording it, and then putting it out. It's been challenging for me, and I've been hitting a little bit of like writer's block. Like I don't like saying that, but because I don't believe in it.
tell me why? Because I'm here, and we were talking about imposter syndrome, and sometimes we say things and we don't understand the meaning of it. We lose the meaning of it. It just becomes a safe word, a safe phrase. I have writer's block.
Yep.
Why? Yeah. And you say I hate when I say that.
I do because I don't believe in it. I don't want to believe in writer's block.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just writing. Like, it's just writing. Like, the thoughts that come to my head, most of the time writer's block for me is when I'm overthinking it and wanting it to sound a certain way, wanting to say something a certain way. Like, thinking about, I notice for myself, when I get into a block, it's usually me thinking about what the listener is going to think about it.
So, I heard an author, he said that don't edit while you write because it's going to slow the flow down. But when I think about that statement, it's hard because if your goal is perfection, if your goal is like, I want to write the best poem, I want to write the best rap, you're always going to have writer's block. Yeah. But it isn't writer's block. It's like wanting to be a perfection block.
Right, right. That's almost a better way to put it.
Yeah, so have you tried to get rid of that phrase? Because it slipped out. I'm just wondering, what does it mean when you say it? What are you really telling yourself?
When I say I'm right, when I have a block, I'm overthinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's some drills that I just recently heard about. Well, it came out that it's a popular topic in culture right now, especially in hip hop. The whole J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, Drake, that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
J. Cole released a song called 7 Minute Drill, which was a diss to Kendrick or whatever, and then he took it down. I'm saying that to just preface this. I heard about behind that is he does a drill. It's a 7 minute drill where he sets a timer for 7 minutes and just writes a verse and just writes whatever he can write in 7 minutes, and that's what he does. So I've been trying to do that a little bit more. I've been adopting that in my writing at times, but only when I feel that block. Because when I start to feel like, oh, I'm overthinking, I'm like, set a timer and just go.
Whatever 7 minutes is a long time to, like, as far as, like, zero. Like, that 7 minutes is worth more than 7 minutes because you're focused. You're saying, I want to focus, and the time can be any set amount of time. Mm-hmm. But if you can set a good goal, things will change. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're going to, you know, cook or what, write, read. If you read for 7 minutes, you're going to be like, whoa. Yep. I actually read a few chapters.
Yeah, it's funny because that's a great point because doing this, writing every day, has really shown. I used to make excuses, right? I used to be like, oh, I can't write today. I've only got 30 minutes. I've only got this little gap. I got to be at work in 30 minutes. I got to be here in 30 minutes. I got to do this. I got to be here. And doing this every day, committing to this, mm-hmm. it has shown me that, like, no, if you dedicate 15 minutes to just focusing and locking in, you can get a lot done in yeah. just 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, let me ask you this, okay? When you think about the Feld podcast and what we're doing here, and you did, how hard would it be to write an intro?
Like a song intro?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a song, but I'm going to call it an intro. Right, but it's just like, you know, with the word Feld podcast, we're trying to teach people, we're trying to share, we're trying to be vulnerable.
I don't think it'd be that hard.
I need you to do one.
Okay, we can work that
out. I'll write a postpone check or something. but I feel like it'd be kind of cool to open with you doing your flow in the beginning. But I want you to kind of record it and document it.
Okay,
we can That way people can see that you're doing it. Yeah. Even if it's just writing a few things, whatever, just do it on your phone. And then we'll showcase it to people. And I think that'd be a pretty cool thing for us to do.
I think that'd be really good.
Because I feel like that's going to be easy for you.
I think it'd be pretty, fairly easy because of what? An intro needs to be what?
It don't matter. It
20 seconds, 5, 30 seconds.
5 minutes? No, I'm joking. No. That could be short, dude, it's like it's almost like the beginning. It should be like a 5 or 10 second. Yep. And then from there it goes longer. So you use the beginning in little pieces and use the longer version, roll the video out or something.
So like a full one would probably be like minute and a half, 2 minutes, something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, I think I could do that.
I feel like you can do that.
Yeah, I think
well,
I can
do that. Well, let's try to do that. Yeah.
I'll start brainstorming.
And so people were going to want to get to know who you are. Is there any story or any like challenge or anything that kind of defines who you are that comes to mind when you have to share something about yourself, when you have a conversation with someone new? What's your go-to story? What defines Daniel? Flow.
I think me,
that's
like, hey, that's pretty dope, actually. I think for me, what defines me has always been family.
Yeah, yeah.
With that, that's just been like my family super close. I have a large extended family. Like we're super close. So for me, it's always been family.
So it's your mom and dad. How about siblings?
So I have one sister. I just have an older sister.
So where's the big come from?
So my cousins and stuff. So
your mom and dad, they got.
I have 6 aunts and uncles on my dad's side.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they all have their children. So, I mean, what we did. Easter, I'm only saying this because I'm thinking we just all got together for Easter and it was like what, 40 of us almost?
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, 35, 40 of us, something like that. With, you know, now my cousins have their spouses and their kids and, you know, so.
I'll tell you something funny about big families, okay? So whenever it's a big family but young, whenever you have a family gathering, you're able to have like the main course. Right? And this is what we eat, the adults, you know, good meat, good sides, and then you do some nuggets and chips, right?
Yep.
And so there's a certain proportion that's enough for everyone at that point. But when the kids grow up, the balance of the family, like how they eat, what they bring, it's so hard that all of a sudden the kids start eating the chicken and the steak, and they don't want the nuggets no more, and that takes a little bit of time to adjust. You're just like, why is there not enough food?
Yeah, we're kind of in that stage right now.
The kids, the kids aren't kids no more.
No, they don't want just pizza anymore. Yeah.
No, they're adults and they're eating the big food.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. I mean, so it's always been family for me. Has been the backbone of everything for me, and that's just how I was raised. And I mean, we were super blessed to all see my grandparents grow old. My grandmother's still alive. My grandfather just passed in 22. Mm-hmm. Was it 22? Because we're going on 2 years. Yeah, that's crazy. So who has the same name as me? He's Daniel Flores as well. I'm the third Daniel. I don't know if I said that at all. Yeah, so I'm the third Daniel in the family.
The third.
Yeah. So there's Daniel Flores Sr. Rest in peace, God rest his soul. My father is Daniel Flores Jr. and I'm the third. Oh. So it's kind of always been a family, like legacy type thing for me. Yeah. It's always been family. And that's how my grandfather was. He was a family man through and through. So with that even, you know, that's provided some challenges with it. You know, without going into details and things like that, probably the biggest challenge for me You did ask, right? What, like a challenge that?
Yeah.
The biggest challenge
just
for
trying
me.
To get to know you, just so people can.
The biggest challenge for me was like, I've had to I've gone through divorce, you know, without going into super details because it wasn't, you know, great. It wasn't.
Yeah. No, I can respect that.
Yeah, it wasn't super pretty or whatever.
Just say my friend. My friend's divorce was horrible.
Most of them aren't great, you know. So going through divorce as someone who really, really, really values family was difficult, you know. Yeah. I knew it was something.
You question yourself a little bit.
100%. I knew it was something that I couldn't avoid. It had to happen. The situation, whatever the situation was, but it had to happen. But at the time, going through that, dealing and knowing that I failed my family, was the hardest, was the most difficult time probably in my life. But at the same time, with that, I learned so much from it. I grew so much from it. So I don't regret it at all. Like I said, I knew it had to happen.
Yeah.
Both of us are better off because of it. But that was at the time. You can't see that far ahead when you're in it. You know, like I think I just wrote something too. Like, it's hard to see through a storm while you're in it. It's really, really, really hard. But you can get through it. You know, the sun will shine again, and I'm living proof of that. And oddly enough, my family dynamic is stronger because of it.
Yeah, I work a little bit harder.
Yes, 100%.
It's funny because it's not funny, but it's just interesting that when people get divorced, the beginning years are always the hardest because that's whenever everything's on the surface, all the fights, everything we disagreed, all the legality stuff. But long term, both individuals have to grow to help the child out. I mean, not if you didn't have a kid, then it kind of changes it. Yep. But ultimately, you see people mature and it works out. And so sometimes we're just too mature, immature. Like, that's all that was missing. It's just like, okay, maybe I was too young, maybe I wasn't ready. And, you know, that goes with a whole lot of things. But do you feel like you've matured a lot? Faster than ever?
1,000%.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where you just said it, you have to mature.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't have to. You can go the opposite way, but it's all perspective, right? But if you choose to take the lessons from it, you can do nothing but grow from it.
Yeah. What are some takeaways that you got? What's some stuff you learned about yourself?
It was, for me, one of the first real times that I had to look inward.
Yeah.
You know, and ask myself, like, I had to look myself in the mirror and say, like, yeah, you failed. Like, that failed. You failed, you know? And just be honest with myself.
Yeah.
So one thing that I took away from it was, like, it was one of those things now that, like, when you get through something hard, it's kind of like, man, you got through that. You can get through anything.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, you up now. You know what I mean? You're doing good. You're on the right path. I get, you know, definitely watching you and observing what you're doing. You're doing good, man. Just keep it going. You know what I mean? The thing is if you don't learn and if you quit, then you truly failed. But you never truly fail if you can continue to keep moving, but you continue to grow. And so some people will move without growth, and it's like, nah, you just kind of ignoring it.
Yep.
Let's figure out what lessons you've learned from your failure and your challenges. And so thank you for sharing that, man. And hopefully we get more and more into that as you come on here more, because there's so many lessons in there, so many people who probably just don't have a mic, and they went through what you did.
Yep.
And it's important for them not to feel ashamed or embarrassed, to let them see that, hey, you know what, there is a silver lining, you know, after this dark cloud, you know, passes.
Well, for me, I think it goes, like, when you think about divorce or just anything, like, I think you can relate it to anything that's going on in your life that's challenging sometimes.
Yeah.
When you go through something hard, it's the same thing with any loss. You may lose a family member, you lose a marriage, a relationship, you may lose a job, a friendship. But, like, once you go through it and you get to the other side of it and you grow from it, it's not – everything else that comes along is not that scary anymore, you know? Still, it doesn't mean it's easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you, like – it doesn't mean that it was super easy for me. I had to look inward and really be honest with myself and be like, you got a lot to work on, you know?
Wow.
You got to get better.
That's hard.
You got to grow. And it took a while still. Like, sometimes I have to catch myself now. Like, don't fall back into that, you know? And so – It was a great lesson for me, and that whole year was a felt like that entire year was a lesson for me.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a there's so many things we could that we didn't even really scratch the surface on what that felt like. But I feel like everybody has to go through something hard, you know, at some point in their lives. There's no point.
Yeah.
There's no way to avoid some hardships in life, I don't think.
And if you don't talk about it, you're lying. Like, everyone's right. been through something. And so earlier we were talking about this, understanding statements and misunderstanding things, even with you sharing about your divorce or certain ideas that we have about things. So I have a few things that I just want to throw out there that are misunderstood. Okay, and this is mainly like to teach people to kind of like I got writer's block, you know, imposter syndrome. Yeah, it's right. like, what does it mean, and are you tweaking it so that it only benefits you? Because it should mean something that allows you to shift or grow or whatever. Not how can it cater me, right?
Right. Yeah.
So here's the first one, and then I want to see if it triggers something. Okay. So the first one is the customer's always right.
Mm.
Mm. Boy, how many times does that make you mad? You know anyone who abuses that?
Well, I used to work retail, so yeah, it used to be said all the time.
How many times did someone say, hey, the customer's always right?
I mean, the customers themselves say the customer's always right sometimes.
Okay, so the misuse of this is that some people take this to mean that the customer's every demand or complaint is correct.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Which isn't always the case. For instance, a customer may demand a refund for a product that they use a lot, but the policy clearly states that refunds are only available for unused items. Okay, the customer is always right, but they're not always correct.
Right, right, yeah.
And so statements like this, we have like writer's block and the other things that we talked about a while ago, where we misuse them to benefit us. How does that allow you to, when you think writer's block and you hear the misuse of a phrase, what does it bring to mind? And then I'll read the proper meaning of it.
Like another phrase, or are you saying?
No,
like,
just the idea of us taking things and then tweaking it just enough so it makes us feel good, or that it only benefits us.
Right. I think the thing for that we have to get out of sometimes is like we have to get out of ourselves sometimes. Does that make sense? Like, I think as humans and people in general, we internalize everything, because mm-hmm. this is the only experience we know is what we experience. But I think if we can get out of ourselves,
yeah.
get outside of ourselves, and just be aware of everyone else and the bigger picture,
yeah.
it's easier to get an understanding and not misuse some of these things, if that makes sense. Because I think it's very easy to just make everything about yourself when we do that a lot of times, it doesn't benefit us, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Especially like in a relationship or the people closest to you. So I think sometimes you just got to get outside of yourself.
Yeah, and so I'll get to the reason why I'm bringing these up. Here's the proper meaning. Originally coined by Harry Gordon Selfridge, the founder of Selfridge Department Stores, the phrase was meant to emphasize the importance of customer service. Mm-hmm. It suggested that a business should strive to meet the customer's need and satisfaction. However, it did not mean that customers are infallible. Rather, it underscores the importance of providing good service and addressing customer concerns.
Right.
That's the proper meaning. And I feel like our self-talk requires us to understand what we're saying.
Right.
Imposter yeah. syndrome, writer's block. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not smart enough. What does that mean? Like when someone says, man, I'm just not smart enough to do that. Okay, define smart for me,
right?
Right? Because maybe it's not smart in a general sense. Maybe you just need to spend 6 weeks reading this book and that'll get you where you need to. But you say, I'm not smart enough. And so that kind of covers everything.
Right.
It's kind of like we make these excuses.
I was about to say the same thing.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we make excuses for ourselves when in reality, like to say I'm not smart enough, you just haven't studied long enough.
Yeah.
To say I don't know this, well, you just haven't researched long enough. To say I can't figure this out, well, have you put in the hours to do it? Have you? Sometimes these statements, it's kind of clicking with me now, sometimes these things that we say are like kind of like they're just excuses for one, and then they're just like cop outs, you know?
They
well, for instance, like with me with music, I'm thinking about, I always, here I go internalizing it, right? But trying to think of stories in my own life, how it relates to me. I've made, in the past, you know, I've liked to say, well, I don't really like social media. When in reality, that's me saying, I don't want to do the work that it takes to promote my own gift.
Okay, that's a misused statement.
Yep.
I don't like social media. I'm not in it for the numbers.
Yep.
Okay, I think those things really need to be defined because people say them and really they're excuses.
Right, yep.
Hence, now don't get mad at me, guys, if you're watching this, because I'm kind of focusing on the writer's block.
Yeah.
Ultimately, and you tell me, Sam, you wrong. You shut up. Ultimately, it is an excuse.
Right. I agree.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's good. I mean, say there is a writer's block because this sentence isn't connecting to this previous paragraph. This character development is falling apart. That's, to me, more writer's block, not I can't do anything. I need to stop because I cannot write one more word. Yeah, yeah. When the reality is you really can.
Yes.
You're not accomplishing what you want to. But writer's block has to do with piggybacking on a lot of work that's already existed. I mean, I'm just going off of the dome.
No, you're spot on.
Yeah. And so how many phrases do we use to slow ourselves down?
A lot.
To allow ourselves to quit. Yeah. For us to say, you know what, it isn't about the numbers. And I heard some people say that, and to me it's like, if you're on social, if you're putting effort, if you spent money on equipment, if you're posting and all this other stuff, then it is most absolutely about numbers.
Yeah.
Now, the numbers are low, so it's a good phrase to say, yeah. So that you're like, low, it don't matter, I'm good, I'm not even looking at. But if there were 15, 20,000 views, trust me, it would be about numbers.
Yeah, I think you said it earlier, we have to define that, right?
Yeah.
I think what some people may be trying to say they mean or convey when they say that, because I say it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I'm guilty too.
I think really what I'm trying to say is I'm not doing the work for the numbers. Now, that doesn't mean the numbers don't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't mean the numbers isn't something I would like to have, but I can't make my art, or I can't make my content, or I can't make what I'm putting out just be about trying to hit a number. It's about keeping the art genuine. It's about keeping it true to myself, true to what the message that I want to relay. Same thing, right, with the podcast.
Yeah.
But the numbers still matter. Right?
Yeah.
The numbers do matter, but I think more
so. What are they saying?
Right.
What are they teaching you?
Yeah.
That's all.
I think it's more so about, for me, is like when I say something like that, it's more of like, I can't make my work be about the numbers, but that also undermines that, like, they matter. Like they matter, and I wish I had more, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I wish I had more, but I believe and have faith and trust that if we keep putting out a good message and genuine work, that they'll come, or that it'll happen.
So I'm just going to say it's about the numbers.
Right.
Yeah. But that is not my purpose.
Right.
The numbers matter. There you go. But my purpose is different.
Correct.
Like, and but I it can both can exist at the same time. I don't have to use it as like to make people feel bad that it is about the numbers, because I can't knock on them if they're accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let me go to the next one. These are statements that are misunderstood. We say them, we use them, and I feel like they're roadblocks to our growth.
Right.
Here's the next one. But I'm gonna say it, and then you tell me like. What comes to mind, okay? Blood is thicker than water.
Blood is thicker than water. I mean, I know that's supposed to be related to family. That's like a family thing. But that's what that term means. But sometimes, man, there are people outside of your family that treat you better than family. You know what I mean? I mean, so that's what I think of. I think of family when I hear that. What do you think of when...
Well, here's the misuse of it, okay? So people often use this to mean that family bonds are always the most important,
mm-hmm.
even in cases where family members may not be supportive or may be harmful. That's the misuse of it.
Right.
Here's the proper use. The phrase actually has a deeper meaning, which is closer to the blood of a covenant is thicker than the water of the wound. This implies that the bond formed by choice, the covenant, are stronger than those formed by birth slash wound. It's a bit confusing, but follow me. So it suggests that relationships we choose force ourselves are often stronger than those simply given by birth, which was leaning more towards what you were saying. Yeah. And so I think I kind of agree with that. Yeah. I think we do misuse blood is thicker than water as we get older.
Right, yeah.
Family is so important whenever you're an adolescent, you got your mom and dad. They're going to feed me and they're going to shelter me. Yeah. But when you get older, friends are so, so, so important because family's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're people at the end of the day. It's not, you know, there's some family members I wouldn't be friends with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm talking about somebody else. I forgot to clarify.
Nobody in my family. I love everybody.
You go ahead. Yeah. Okay, what comes to mind with that?
No, I think
I'm watching the sound levels.
I kind of alluded to it when you first said it, is that when you hear that statement, it's often used for family. That's the majority of what you hear it used for, is just family and family conversations. But at the same time, when I think about it, I'm like, because in my head I'm thinking, oh, blood, we have the same blood, but like, all humans have blood. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we all bleed the same time, you know? And so sometimes friendships go a lot further than family, you know? And friendships are so important.
Yeah.
I mean, the divorce, I don't think, I wouldn't have made it through without some of the friendships I had, you know? Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't have made it through without family either. Absolutely not. You know, my parents and some of my people, but some of the people that were there for me the most were my friends, and that got me through it was my friends, spending time together and doing things like that. So I think we need to, maybe when we think of that term, is more so of like the strong relationships you have in your life.
Yeah.
Is that's really what's the thickest.
I agree.
Yeah.
And so that hit me, man. I was like, that, because as I get older, I spend more time with friends, less time with family. We have less, and it's sad, but we have less in common. Like, it's important for families to find things they have in common. It cannot simply be that we're family.
Yeah.
It's just that's boring. Like, especially if you see people often for cookouts and holidays, if all we have in common is that we're family, I mean, that's a pretty boring conversation.
Right. Yeah.
So anyways, but that's enough. I mean, to me, is it misunderstood?
In some ways, I think so, yeah.
The blood is thicker than water.
Especially
you ever,
when
you ever put it in one of your flows?
Nope.
No.
Never sounds have. Like it sounds like something. I'm sure people have. I'm sure people have. Absolutely have. But I've never had.
Here's the next one. Nice guys finish last.
Hold on.
I saw something.
Yeah, I mean,
we're gonna take a moment. So Flo can. No, I'm joking.
No. That one is. It's false.
Just say it.
To me.
Just
it's
say
just
it.
False.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's just
stupid.
It's just not true. It's just, if I had two options, true or false, I'm clicking false on that one. I just don't believe in it. Because what does it say about what's the real?
Here's
meaning?
The misuse.
Yeah, the misuse. Okay? Yeah, what does it say?
Hey guys, I may be talking to you right now. He goes, often to justify behaving selfishly or rudely in the pursuit of success. For instance, someone might use it to argue that being kind or considerate is a disadvantage in a competitive situation. That's the misuse of it. But that's what people think.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
Does a movie, does a time in your life, does something come up where I'm going to tell you one movie and you just tell me if it's Forrest Gump. You ever seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it's been so long, though. But yeah, so that's what comes to mind.
Nice guys finish last, right? He was a super nice guy.
He was super nice, yeah.
He ended up making a small investment and making a ton of money, living a pretty good life. It was a lot of testing there.
Yeah.
But he did not finish last.
No, he didn't.
He actually ended up finishing pretty good.
Yeah. That for me, that statement is false, because I don't think it's ever wrong to be kind. Be nice. I think we should strive to be that even when we don't want to be sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the proper meaning. This phrase is often attributed to Leo Durocher, who managed the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 1940s. You a baseball guy?
I am, yeah.
His intention was likely to emphasize the competitive nature of sports and life, suggesting that those who are too kind or accommodating might be taken advantage of. Hold on, I lost my spot.
You said taken advantage of.
Advantage of by more ruthless competitors. However, it doesn't mean that being nice is inherently a weakness. Rather, it warns against being overly possessive or letting others walk all over you. Okay, to me that's what sticks out. But what comes to mind when you hear the proper meaning?
So, in a competitive standpoint, I get it. From a competitive standpoint, it makes sense. Yeah. From an athletic performance type thing, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. If you're a boxer.
Yeah.
When you get in the ring, it's time to go. There is no more nice guy. This is basically war. Mm-hmm. So from a competitive standpoint, I understand it, but people have taken that outside of that and put it into like everyday life.
Yeah.
To take advantage of people or to take that same approach to life. I don't think we need to do that in our everyday lives or even in relationships, because you hear it all the time in relationships, like, oh, the nice guys don't get the good girls or whatever. No, we do.
PSA.
Yeah, we do. But no, I think, yeah, from a competitive standpoint, it makes sense. I understand it.
But and daily? Just a daily? Yeah. No way.
Yeah, no. That's just not a good way to live.
Like, anyways. I hear young kids, like, think having that mentality because they heard it from their... You know, you ain't first, you last. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just like, come on, get out of here.
No, that's not true.
What's the PSA though to the people? It's just like, is it? Hey guys, be kind.
I think 100%.
Be nice. If you're the best at something, if you dominate something, whether it be podcasting, business, you name it, you will not finish last.
Right. No. Yeah.
You're gonna finish first with a lot of friends.
Yep. But I think there's times where you can separate that, right?
Yeah.
Like there's times where you can separate. Like, it's popular in rap too. It's really popular in rap to be ego driven and like to be I'm the best and I'm this I'm that. And
it so, almost like, applies perfectly to
yeah,
rap.
Yeah.
You really gotta have that mentality.
Yeah, hip hop. Yeah. I tend to not have that mentality. When I start to get like that, I don't like how I am. So that's just me personally. But I feel like I'm in competition with myself more than anything. But when I hear that term, being kind goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Being a good person, being nice goes a long way. And I always say, you know, doing the right thing is always the right thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And like so I don't think I think that makes you a nice person. So I don't know. I don't agree with that statement. I guess I can in some ways. In its proper usage, I can agree with it.
Yeah.
But nah. Be nice. Be nice. Be kind, y'all. Be kind.
Well, I hope that like this segment triggered something, right? So I'm going to ask you now, in general, the misunderstanding, and it's just crazy because when you started off with writer's block what was the other one you said? The imposter syndrome. Those are perfect because those are phrases that we use a lot, and they're misused.
Yep.
And they're basically disguising some realities. Some of them become excuses. Mm-hmm. But now seeing what the segment was about, give me some final thoughts on this idea.
I think we need to pay attention to the things that we say to ourselves, our self-talk. I think you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier too, is that it's very important to pay attention to the things that we say, that we express inwardly and outwardly at times. I think it's very important to pay attention to our self-talk. Mm-hmm. I think that goes a lot further than we may even imagine.
Yeah.
I think that can influence a lot of things that we end up that we take into our actions.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it's a story we tell ourselves. You know, I have writer's block, or nice guys finish last, I have to be ruthless, I have to, like, we tell each other, we tell ourselves these things, and this is a story we're telling ourselves when we could say the opposite. No, I don't have writer's block.
Yeah.
I'm having a moment where it's hard to, you know, articulate what I want to say, but it'll come. You know.
I'm gonna put on one of your flows. Which one are you liking right now?
Any of them. You know, to be honest, This is going to sound weird.
Is that the newest one?
Yeah, I mean, I did that yesterday. I think for me, this is going to sound weird. Maybe it's not going to sound weird as a creative. Yeah,
No.
Yeah. I judge myself so harshly that, like, I don't know how much time we have left.
We're out of time. We'll see y'all guys. I'm joking. No, go ahead.
Maybe because I'd like to get your perspective on this, because I kind of talked about it at the beginning, but like, I think, I don't know if it's good or bad to judge yourself very harshly.
I think it's good, okay. But you got to have goals.
Right.
Like, you cannot judge yourself if you don't know where you're going. You cannot suck at something if you don't know what you're trying to be amazing at. So if you're just beating yourself down because you're holding yourself to someone else's standard or Instagram influence, like you're saying, they're doing good, I'm not doing good. Wait a minute. Do you just want a new car this year? Do you just want a home this year? Because if that's the case, don't compare yourself to their two homes and four vehicles. You're not doing bad. Yeah. But if you judge yourself based on them, then you are. But if you're judging yourself based on you and you're working towards that goal, there's a little more flexibility in there. We wouldn't judge ourselves as hard as we do if we were honest with ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. But it's just the comparison game kills us, man. Yeah. Like, you're never going to have the most money. I think about this when people judge themselves or, like, finances. I'm not as wealthy as him, or I don't have what they have. Dude, Jeff Bezos still shows up. Now, I don't know him personally, but he still shows up to work.
Right, right. Well, I can tell you a story. And I have people that actually – I have proof. There's people – I have witnesses. So luckily enough, we can talk about – I'm sure through all the episodes we'll get there. But I was lucky enough, I was blessed enough to actually get a tour of Facebook headquarters one time.
In
2015. Yeah. A friend of mine, me and another friend, we were blessed enough to get a tour of Facebook headquarters. It's amazing. And it's like a city, it's like a world in itself. It's like a state, town.
I had the thumb, like when you walked in?
Yep, right. Yep. Yeah. I got a picture with the thumb. I have a picture somewhere out there. You can probably – it's somewhere way down on my Instagram somewhere. From like 7 years ago. Or no, maybe I'll shoot like 9 years ago. Wow, time flies. But anyways, that's a long way to say, while I was there, I saw Mark Zuckerberg sitting at a desk, working amongst all the other people working. And this is Mark, this is like not in an office, not like there, just working.
My point was, is like, they have all the money in the world, and it isn't enough because their purpose is bigger than it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we think we're not enough when it is,
right.
But we're comparing ourselves to someone else. We'll never stop. We'll never stop judging ourselves.
You experienced that, like, with the Failed Podcast, with your, like, creatively, you experienced that too? Or do you go through, do you battle with that, like, just having to catch yourself judging it too hard? Or
I don't know why I don't judge it hard, because ultimately I got my purpose behind it,
right.
On why I do it, and it's just to help and to teach people,
right.
You know, from so I got that, and I believe in it, so no. Now, if something does really bad, like the other day I released like my previous two episodes and the audio wasn't good, I kind of judged myself, but it wasn't like to bring myself down. It was like to elevate myself. Like, hey, dude, you messed up. Figure out the solution. And I've made several changes. And hopefully this is the one that sounds amazing. But I judge myself almost as an indicator.
Right.
Like, to help myself, not to hurt myself.
Right, more like to critique.
Because people judge themselves and then they carry that cloud. And they're like, man, the world sucks. No. You suck to yourself, bro. Yeah. Like, that's just it. Like, there's sunshine for you. There's a cloud over me. I said, so people do it to themselves.
No, and I only ask that because I deal with it with my music, like, sometimes, you know? It's a real thing that I'm trying to overcome of, like, I think there's a statement out there. It's like, done is better than perfect sometimes. You know what I mean?
Gets you closer.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so, like, I'm trying to get to that point of, like, hey, you got it. Put it out. Let's make it happen.
Dude,
keep going.
When you hit perfection, the journey's over.
Right.
Like, when you cross the finish line, the journey is over.
Yeah.
And to me, it's about the journey. And the good thing about the podcast is there is no finish line.
Right.
But I got to make every step, every move along the way. I got to enjoy it.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
We're about to listen to one of your flows. Yeah. Because flow is about to make an intro.
I'll choose one. If you want to scroll down, it's not too far down.
Yeah.
That Right there in the middle with the red shirt up two. There you go. That's I think that's the right one.
We're going to try to make this
work.
Or
if you want even the – yeah, let's do that one. Let's do
all
that.
All right. Hopefully he says it's –
That I put that one – I chose that one because that's actually – not that I'm trying to plug anything or anything like that, but I'm actually finishing up like a project right now that I'm hoping to release by the end of
Stay tuned. We'll keep everybody posted.
Yeah, so that – and that's on there, so that's why.
Dude, so you're going to drop something?
Yeah, 100%. All right,
we're going to throw a party. Yeah. We're going to do something interesting, something creative. Here we go. Let's see if this works. Next time I'll plug my phone in, bro. I just didn't, you know.
You're good, yeah. I don't know how none of this works, so. Next or how long life lasts. I just pray I'm doing good and on the right path. I know I'm working on habits that make me better, but I wasted lots of time just thinking I live forever. God been testing to see if I stay in line. It finally feels like my efforts and faith align for real. See, anything worth having gonna take some time, cause even diamonds need pressure to go and make them shine. The truth always comes to light, even your kept secrets. Throughout my life, experience been the best teacher. And when things fall apart, you see who's really with you. See, when you back to square one, that's when it really hits you. You can pack it all up and say it's time to end, or you can find a way to win and try and rise again. So as long as there's breath in my lungs, I'ma fight for what I love till God say that I'm done.
Is that a good spot?
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah,
that's actually so that's kind of gonna be like probably the outro track to my newest project. I kind of wrote that actually for like that's more of something to leave behind for my family, my kids, and stuff.
As we keep rolling this out, dude, I want to touch on some of your musically talents. I don't know if I said that right. Your talent when it comes to writing music. We'll go in depth. We'll make some segments that are going to focus on that so that you can teach us about some of the failures and challenges that come along with writing a song, editing a song, mastering, like feeling confident, like all that stuff, man. So stay tuned, okay, everyone? It's going to be good. All right, final thoughts, and then we'll wrap this one up. I'll let you say something, and then I'll finish.
I love the conversation. The thing that I like the most about this so far is that it's helping me, too. Yeah. You know? Like in the midst of trying to help others, it's helping me as well. The first one, I left, like, super inspired, and I went home and wrote and everything. Like,
I hope you feel the same today.
So, like, that's been... So far, the conversation sparks so much up here that, like, keeps me wanting to stay on the path and keep going. So that's been, like, my favorite part about this so far. And I hope that if you're listening out there, it's doing the same for you. Yeah, I hope that whoever's listening, I hope it's doing the same for you because life is hard, but we're all in it together. So just keep going.
And that was your moment with Flo. It sounds like the... Float, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been great. Another great conversation. Another great episode in the bag. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to the Fail Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed this conversation. I hope you learned something. Leave us a comment. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Keep up with us on Instagram. All the links for my stuff, all the links for Flo's stuff will be in the description below. Follow us on Instagram. Go like this at the same time. Go follow us right here.
It's right in there. Short.
Somewhere here. There we go. So thank y'all. Y'all be good. Tell them peace.
Have a good week.